Welcome to the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. If you're ready for a dose of inspiration and insight, then you've come to the right place. My name is Victoria Maskell, and I'm a psychotherapist, mindset coach, and positivity practitioner. I help women just like you to have their own Cinderella stories and transform their mindsets to make their dreams a reality. So if you're a coach, an entrepreneur, or just looking to up-level your life, then this is the podcast for you. I'm going to be talking all things money mindset, manifesting your dream life, and how to use your subconscious to achieve anything you set your mind to. I'm going to be filling these podcast episodes with stories and inspiration for you, things to make you smile, feel supported, and get ready to crush your goals and manifest your dreams. There is no such thing as a coincidence in life. So just by listening to this podcast, you are one step closer to making your dream life, business, and mindset a reality. So if you're ready for today's dose of positivity and prosperity, then let's dive in. Hi everyone! Right, welcome back to the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. I hope you're all having an amazing, amazing day. Oh, right, today's episode, I am talking to Sarah from The Art of Sales, and I am so excited for this episode because this is something that I so struggled with when I started my business. Sarah is an absolute expert in her field. So if you're listening to this and in your life or your business, you have anything to do with sales, whether this is discovery calls, whether this is sales in any format, this is an awesome episode. And I want you to stay till the end because Sarah has got a really, really amazing challenge that she's running. It's completely free and she is going to be coaching you through objections. This is an awesome opportunity for you to get her knowledge, get her top tips on objections and actually make a difference to your business, your sales and your bank account. And we all love that, don't we? So stick around to the end. I am now going to go into the main episode where I interviewed Sarah from The Art of Sales and I hope you really, really enjoy this episode. Hi Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. I am so excited for this episode. I know so many people are going to get massive value out of it. Shall we start by you telling the lovely listeners a little bit about who you are and who you help?
Hey, yeah, of course. So my name's Sarah and I am from The Art of Sales. So I set up The Art of Sales to help all of you lovely coaches and service-based entrepreneurs actually improve your sales skills. And I was very aware that people, let's be honest, don't like sales. my mission, I suppose, is to get everyone to love sales and be good at it.
Oh my goodness, Sarah, I'm so, so glad you're here. Sarah and I have worked together before and Sarah knows that I am not, or certainly have not been, the biggest fan of sales. So I can vouch for Sarah's knowledge and expertise. And you're so right. There are so many people who are coaches, service-based entrepreneurs, who dread sales. So let's start with the big question. What would you say, with all your experience, is the biggest sales mistake you see people making?
Okay, so this might shock you.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm holding on to the table. I'm ready.
The biggest mistake that people make in sales is thinking that no means no.
Okay, so the biggest mistake is they think no means no. Right, you're going to have to tell me more. Right, explain this to us, Sarah.
Yes. Okay, so we've all been there, right, on calls when we're hearing those lovely objections. I can't afford it. I need to speak to my partner. You know, the children are playing up. I can't think about this right now. Mm-hmm. All of these lovely objections. And essentially what the prospective client's saying to you is no. What people fail to realize is that actually objections are buying signals.
Okay, right. So tell me, let's imagine that I don't know what a buying signal is. What is a buying signal?
So a buying signal is exactly what it says. It's basically a little alert that's saying, I'm ready to buy, I'm interested, I want I want this, or at least want to know more about it. An objection is a signal of interest and a signal of wanting to.
Okay.
The reason why is because if someone isn't interested and they don't want to actually get involved in what you're offering or purchase what you're selling, they wouldn't have any objections. They'd just be goodbye.
Oh, so actually, we should sometimes be going for the no, because it's telling us that the person is interested and actually could be helped by our product, our service.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when somebody's objecting and somebody's got questions and all of these, oh, I don't know if I could do it because I work at this time, so I wouldn't be able to put all my effort into it. What they're actually asking you is, how can they still make it work?
Oh, so it's almost like the no is a reaching out for more support from us as the coach.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly that. What people are looking for is, because for, so, right, let me put it back a bit. For people to think of an objection,
mm-hmm.
and to think of a question, they're having to, in the first place, consider how working with you would impact their life.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So someone that says they don't have the time to invest or they don't have the money to invest, they've already calculated, okay, so it's going to cost this amount of money. I've got this coming in. They've already viewed it or tried to look at it in their actual life, which shows you that they're considering working with you.
So from a mindset perspective, then the no shows there's been some processing, but could it even be if a person says yes, that actually they just want to get you off the phone and they're not interested and they're seeing that as the fastest way to end the call?
100%. So,
okay.
What I was saying, this is, you know, with everything, there's an exception to the rule,
mm-hmm.
and there are going to be people that are just ready to go and yeah. that say yes. And when you hear that yes, you know, perfect. However, whenever I've taken a sales call, discovery call, breakthrough call, whatever you want to call them, if somebody is getting through it with no questions,
mm-hmm.
no objections, no probing for more information, I am panicked, Victoria.
But you're always so cool. How can you be panicked?
No. What I mean is it's a red flag for me. Because okay. I'm okay, so they've not got, I've spent X amount of time working, you know, talking on this call with somebody, and they don't have one question.
Yeah, so that to you is worrying, because it's like they're not processing this. They're not putting themselves in a situation where working with you could be what's going to be their future, their reality.
Absolutely, because it's you know, if they've not got one question about it, it's like, okay, so where's the disconnect? What have they missed, or what is it that isn't resonating with them, or actually have I just been speaking to somebody that isn't the ideal client?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I want to be able to tell everyone listening that you are going to get to a point where you hear yes, 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 no objections. That's the reality, is that probably isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You will hear loads of yeses, but you need to hear the objections and questions first.
Okay.
And when somebody starts asking me a million and one questions about, you know, is there a payment plan, or, you know, that's too expensive right now, like what other options do you have, or how much time do I need to put into this, or I need to talk to my partner about this, I start thinking, okay, great, this person's interested. Mm-hmm. Now I just need to give them the information and the support to take it to the next level.
I love that, because that is such a mindset shift. I'm thinking about when I very, very first started out my business, and you probably will laugh at this point. The idea of someone saying to me when I was talking about my coaching or my packages, you know, Victoria, that's too expensive. I was thinking, oh my goodness, they hate me. They think I'm a horrible person. They think I'm charging too much. They don't see the value in what I'm doing. Oh my God, I've got to get off the call. But actually, that's the wrong mindset, isn't it? That's not what's actually happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I hear so much is people. So you go through a brilliant call,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds great. Everything's going well. The client's engaging with you. All of this good stuff. And then they start asking questions. And what people do is their whole, as you said, mindset shifts to, you can almost feel the irritation and the disappointment come through. Mm-hmm. So somebody will say to them, oh, do you know what? I really need to talk to my partner. And you can hear the person on the sales call actually go, okay, well, you know, and then they start going into oversell mode and you can hear the shift, mm-hmm. rather than actually going turning to be really excited and go, oh, okay, great. And giving them the information.
Yeah. That's massive. Cause I know you've listened to a lot of people's discovery calls. I know you've evaluated a lot of them. You've given a lot of feedback. So I can see how so many of us just come at this from the wrong place. And you're so right. Our energy shifts, it changes. We start feeling either guilty or stressed or like, oh my goodness, I thought this was going to be the perfect client. I was going to help them. Now I'm not going to be able to. And it changes the way we talk to that potential client because they're still a potential client. We still have that potential to solve their problems.
Absolutely. 100%. And I remember... Now I'm going to take you back about 15 years now.
Ooh, that's us going back in time, everybody.
Yeah. So it was about 15 years ago and I had my first ever or one of my sales jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was a week away from failing my probation.
Okay.
And
you're great about it, I'm sure.
I had... 5 more days to get X number of sales or I was going to lose my job.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And I know that the 100% reason why is because every time I heard an objection, I gave up and I thought I was hearing no.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than actually getting excited and thinking, oh, wow, this person really wants to look at this a bit more, I would just give up. And the light bulb that went off about midweek was, okay, do you know what? I'm just going to give them the information they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, I'd even given up on my passing the probation. So I started to answer the questions and answer the objections in such a chilled out way.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Not into oversell, not disappointed, not panicked. And what do you know? The sales started coming in.
Oh my gosh. When you said oversell there, like...
Yeah, I know you know about that one.
The oversell, the panic, the anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think people pleasing comes into sales. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when you truly believe that you have an amazing product or service and you can see that there is someone on the phone that you can really help, you go into sort of desperation and you think, okay, well, I can change the program, I can change the plan, what do you want? And it's the wrong way to come at it, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. But the great thing is everyone thinks this is like a massive issue. If you can't overcome objections and you know you're never going to sell, and they think it's going to take years and years, it doesn't. It's as soon as you learn what they mean and as soon as you're able to handle them in the correct way, you're halfway there.
Okay, so it's about deciphering what an objection actually means and the right way to deal with that. And that is like that first tipping point, that first light bulb moment to getting really good at sales.
Yes.
Okay.
And I, you know, back to my own experience and what sort of brought me into sales is I was a week away from failing, 5 days away from failing my probation. And 2 months after passing it, I was promoted into a manager.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a transformation.
It is, but it's not as much as it is amazing. It doesn't have to be amazing. That's the sort of transformation that can easily happen for anyone. All it is understanding sales, understanding what it actually means. Too many people think that selling is manipulation or the gift of the gab, which is my most hated phrase. They think it's this, but actually, if you understand the techniques behind it, the technicalities, the artistry behind it, you will absolutely be able to transform, and in a quick space of time.
So cracking the code of sales, and that it's not rocket science, and it's not this, like we've talked about this before, but I had this view that especially before I started my own business, I had this view that sales were icky. I had this view that, yeah, manipulation. I've talked about this, but that dodgy dealer, like if anyone's seen the film Matilda, her dad, and how he's like filling cars with sawdust and turning and letting little old ladies buy these cars that are going to die in 10 miles and stuff. But one of the biggest things you've taught me is that is just a belief, a perception, a mindset, and it's not the case. It is not true. And I think you're going to come on for another episode where we're going to talk all about these mindset shifts, and we're going to talk all about the mindset of shed sales. But could you maybe tell us a couple of the key objections? So if there's anyone who is starting a business, you know, starting off having these sales calls, could you maybe just tell us a couple of the objections that people are likely to hear and maybe what they might mean?
I can't afford it. Everyone's favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, what it instills as you as the person who is on, you know, conducting a sales call is a guilt, automatically. And because I don't believe that sales is manipulation, and because I'm not one of those icky Del Boy, Matilda dad people, I'm going to be transparent and say to you that there are going to be people that genuinely can't afford it.
Yeah.
And they are people that you are going to need to let go.
Yeah.
But the key is that is the small minority. The small minority. Because actually, I can't afford it is just a go-to response.
Yeah.
And understand whether or not it's a true true reflection of the financial situation or something else. You need to go deeper and you do need to look into it and ask questions around that. But I can't afford it is somebody is actually thinking about what the price is and what that means to their life, and what they're asking you for is help and support to see how they can afford it and how they can make changes, or what other resources or what other support systems they have in place or that they could reach out to help them do that. And actually, a lot of the time for people, and I'm not talking about people that are on the breadline because that is a different situation, but for people that are living average to good standard of living, if people really want something, they will find a way to afford it.
Yes.
I can promise you this.
Yes. There was a meme going round, and I can't remember the exact meme. People listening to this might know the one I mean. But there was something along the lines of, you know, someone said, oh, yeah, well, this, I don't know, this kind of moisturiser or whatever is £100. They're like, oh, I can't afford it. But then they would go on a night out and spend £200 on cocktails. And it's not that they didn't have that money. It's more to do with, like, the value that they saw in it.
Exactly. And price versus value is probably a whole different podcast.
Yeah. We're going to have a series. Don't worry.
Yes. But this is quite a crude example, but it's the best example I can think of.
Okay.
Whenever anyone says to me, but people just can't afford it, and they push back to me and say, yeah, but sometimes they can't. And I'm like, well, how do you know that? And it's more about whether or not they see the value. The question I'll ask is, have you ever seen a smoker without cigarettes?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Have you ever seen someone smoking saying they can't afford something?
Yeah, it's priorities, isn't it? It's what they see the value.
And I know it's quite a crude example, but the truth is, if somebody wants something bad enough, they will find a way. And it's about you as the coach, you as the business owner, identifying and supporting that prospective client to find that way.
Yeah.
That they are desperately looking for, because that's what they're asking you to do. And especially for coaches out there, this is your chance to actually showcase your skills as a coach, because you're going to coach them through this and show them, help them come to the truth, whether or not they can afford it and something else is behind it, or if it is someone that genuinely can't, in which case then we do have that ethical sort of responsibility to not push at those points.
Definitely. And I think we're talking about people who have a really great service package, coaching program, whatever it is, that is going to genuinely have a positive impact on this potential client. We're not talking about Del Boy, dodgy dealers trying to take money from people. And I think that is a big, big misconception, because any good coach will know if that person on the phone is going to benefit from their program. And if they don't think they'll benefit, that call needs to be terminated. And like you were saying, if that person is genuinely not able, then that is okay. That is a good reason to terminate that call at that point, because we're not Del Boys and we're not dodgy car salesmen.
And to be honest with you, you make an excellent point. And the reason why I suppose with this, what I'm trying to say is, all of these cases that I'm talking about are about when you're talking to somebody that really does need and does really want your service and will benefit from it, because that's what we do. If you are pushing a product or pushing a service or going through these objections with somebody when it's something they don't really need, you're not selling. That isn't sales. That's manipulation, and it's conning people, and that's not what we're discussing.
No.
What, you know, if somebody really needs something and it's going to bring benefit to their life, then yes, they need help to push past the barriers.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that we've made that distinction, because I just think that's another thing that needs to be said to get over this idea of sales, manipulation, pushing things onto people, because actually that is not what good sales are at all.
It really isn't. Sales as an industry and manipulation are two completely different things. Anyone that talks about sales as a form of manipulation knows nothing about sales. Mm,
that's good. I love that. So, Sarah, could you give us like a top tip or maybe a couple of top tips that you could tell us now for anyone listening who is maybe struggling with sales, something that they could do or implement to help them out in this process?
So the first tip is going to be changing how you feel about objections. Mm-hmm. And this starts before the call, before you even take another call. It's about changing how you feel about them, understanding what they are, appreciating that what the prospective client is actually asking for is more information.
Yeah.
And they're asking for support and potentially looking for you to coach them through any sort of underlying feelings they have that are the objection is a smokescreen for. Mm-hmm. So changing how you feel, going onto that call, realizing, getting excited for an objection, looking for the questions, looking for the chance to impart more value, impart more knowledge on your prospective client, so that you don't hear an objection and go, oh no, what's happening?
Yeah.
Start thinking. Sorry. The second tip would be trust yourself. And I think what I mean by that is know that what you offer is good. So get clear about the value that your program, your service, what that brings, and mm-hmm. trust that what you're doing is for somebody's benefit. So step out of that zone of, you know, oh gosh, well, do they need this or whatever. Stand true in what you're actually offering, because when you stand behind your offering, it comes across a lot stronger. So remove yourself from this Del Boy thing and really do have faith and trust in what you'll do.
I love that. So mindset before the call, being excited for the objections and trusting in yourself, trusting in your product, your services, and having that self-belief that what you're offering is transformational for your clients.
Absolutely. Going into it, knowing that you're doing someone something good.
Yeah.
Rather than going into it thinking that you're, you know, Matilda's dad.
Yeah. So bye bye Del Boy. Bye bye Mr. Wormwood, I want to say. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Been a few years, but I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think it is, because I think Wormwood is just like a bit of a yuck name, and he's obviously a bit of a yuck character. But anyway, Sarah, I know that you have such a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much for just sharing some snippets. And we have literally just touched the surface on all of the stuff that you can teach us about sales. And I'm definitely going to get you back on the podcast, because we need to have some more episodes on mindset and price and value. But if anyone is listening to this episode and maybe they know that sales are the part of their business that is the problem, maybe they're not closing enough sales, maybe they're not making enough money, and they want to know more about you and maybe even how they could work with you and how you could support them, how can they do that? Can you tell us how people can find out about you?
Yeah, of course. So I, even though I have been in sales for a number of years, longer than I'd like, I have recently just taken my business online.
Okay, so awesome.
You can find me on Instagram at sales is an art form. But also I am running a 3-day training free. It's completely free, and it's for coaches and other service-based entrepreneurs, or just people that are in sales jobs that are wanting to improve their skills. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be running on the 26th of June.
Awesome.
3 days.
Okay.
So I think you're going to put a link, aren't you, to join up? And so anyone that does want to join that training session can. And in that, we're going to be covering a lot more detail on objections and how to hear more yeses.
Awesome. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear these ultimate yeses. Well, I am going to put all of those links in the show notes. So if you're listening to this and you haven't had a chance to write that down, I'm going to put Sarah's Instagram link and her link to her free challenge. And I can honestly say, if you are a coach, a service-based business, if you need to work on sales, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend from the bottom of my heart that you join this free challenge, because Sarah is so knowledgeable about sales. She is so, so well-versed in all of the objections and how to get around them. So it is definitely worth it. This amazing free challenge starting on the 26th of June. If you check the links in the show notes, if for any reason you can't get the link, you know the drill, send me an email and I will make sure you get all of the details. But Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm sure everyone has found this so informative, so, so useful. And yeah, thank you for being part of it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Right, I will speak to you soon, Sarah. Take care. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this content, I would so love it if you could leave me an iTunes review. You would totally make my day, and you'd help this podcast to reach other listeners just like you. And if you know someone who this content would help, then please share it with them. Share the love, share the positivity. I hope you all have a wonderful and prosperous day, and I will see you all in the next episode.